are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is happening and welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Thursday, January 24th, and a road victory for the Pistons and a viral video as well. We're going to talk about that today. This is your boy, Matt Shook, a sports writer here in the Motor City covering the NBA for the Detroit News and the Associated Press, also a Pistons fan and follower. My whole life, just like you guys, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade. Thanks for listening to the Locked On Pistons podcast and for spreading the word. We really appreciate it as well. Today, we're going to run down the details of the Pistons' win in New Orleans on Wednesday night. Also going to talk about the clip, the viral video with Blake Griffin and Reggie Jackson, and what it kind of says under the surface. I mean, obviously, we don't want to read too much into a moment, but obviously symbolic, a little emblematic maybe of what the Pistons are dealing with these days. We've also got a couple of voicemails to share and react to as well a little bit later on in the show. But by the way, give me a follow on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. Also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. And check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons-Matt Shook as well. So the Pistons got the win. I was at the Motor City Casino watch party on Wednesday night. A very good time. Highly recommend. I don't know if I've talked about this at all or maybe not enough here on the show, but the Pistons do a great job from an operations standpoint, so thumbs up to those folks. Lauren Jabara hosted the event, the in-game host that you guys know from Little Caesars Arena. The dancing usher, Shannon, was running the show too as well. A couple of friends of the Locked On Pistons podcast show there doing a great job. The Extreme team doing a bunch of flips and dancing. The Pistons dancers, the ladies were out there, did a routine or two. Had some contests to win tickets. Papa Shot at halftime, tossing out free t-shirts as well, which we know everyone loves. And a dance contest that Shannon was judging at halftime. A good time and a good crowd for a Pistons team that struggles, as we know. The game was on the big screen at the soundboard there at Motor City Casino. It's a free thing. You just need to go ahead and print your tickets from Ticketmaster. Dollar beers, free food. It looks like they're doing another one on February 13th for the game at Boston. So you might want to mark your calendar there. It's another Wednesday night. So maybe go to that if you're free. I'm going to try to head out there myself. Obviously, that's weeks away, and you know, who knows what the schedule will bring at that point. But on the big screen, the Pistons got the win, 98-94, holding on for dear life in New Orleans against the Pelicans, who were without Anthony Davis. New Orleans did not play well, and they almost still got the win over the listless Pistons, despite another great Blake Griffin night. Blake had 20 points in the first quarter, ended up with 37 points and 9 rebounds. 17 points for Reggie Jackson, including 4 of 7 for 3, including some big shots late for him, and a nice game for the Pistons point guard. John Luehr had 11 points. Good game for him off the bench. No Andre Drummond for the Pistons for, I don't know, like the third straight game, maybe third straight full game, and then obviously the injury was at the beginning of the Miami game, so four games really. But he's back with the team now, and it sounds like he might be back Friday. For that one, that's kind of me speculating, but I believe he's out of the concussion protocol, but it was a game-time decision, and the Pistons elected to not go with him on Wednesday night. The lowlights, Reggie Bullock, 1 of 8 from 3. Not what we like to see, as we're kind of probably shopping him around the league as the Pistons organization might be looking to make some deals here at the February 7th trade deadline as it approaches. The Pelicans had a shot to tie late. Frank Jackson missed a wide-open three-pointer. And Drew Holiday tipped the rebound back out to some of his teammates on the perimeter, but it was loose, and they had a couple of Pelicans that were, Jackson being one of them, kind of both half going for it, whereas Reggie Bullock aggressively goes for it from a defensive position, and to his credit, gets it and dunks it home, and that was it on the fast break. So obviously a bad fourth quarter for the Pistons up until that. They had scored 19 points in the fourth quarter total. But got the win anyway. 29 points for Drew Holiday, 17 for Jahlil Okafor. He was great early. But the Pistons, at the end of the day, improved to 21-26, five games under 500. Oh, my God. It's so sad. And as we speak, the Pistons now are back ahead of Washington. So hooray for that. Alone in ninth place in the Eastern Conference, 1.5 games out of the playoffs as we speak behind the Miami Heat. By the way, Brooklyn continues to win. The Pistons now four full games out of the sixth spot, which is Brooklyn right now, which feels like a lot. or at this point. It feels almost out of reach that the Pistons could make up four games on anyone at this point. But we'll see about the Nets do to hold up the rest of the way. Congrats to Kenny Atkinson and that team. Geez, I did not see that coming after the Caris LeVert injury. Figured that they would be a team that would disappear from playoff contention shortly after that. But speaking of injury, by the way, wanted to give a shout-out, our condolences to Pacers Nation out there, as it looks like Vic Oladipo is out for the season after a tough injury last night in their game. The Pistons, if you want to get any crazy ideas, don't, because the Pistons are 11 games behind Indiana with 35 to go. So, no, that's not happening there. It's still, again, a good roster in Indiana. It's not just the Victor Oladipo show. It's a team that will hold on to their playoff spot. Certainly not a team that's going to be anywhere near title contention now. They weren't really before. Everyone had talked about that. And the Pacers are a team like the Pistons when they had it going, or will hopefully get it going someday in the maybe distant future. But get a lot of, you know, Midwest disrespect around the league. And so we're kind of brothers in arms in that way. But a lot of people talking about how the Pacers weren't really contenders anyway. And I tend to agree, but it does feel like a little bit of Midwest disrespect when people talk about the Pacers that way. But obviously without Victor Oladipo, there's no contention that's going to happen there. But suddenly, an interesting team in the context of the trade deadline coming up. Do they do something weird? Obviously, this changes your season when Victor Oladipo goes down. Do they do something a little bit different now at the trade deadline? You got some options. Do you try to replace Victor Oladipo for the rest of the season in that like lead scoring guard role with like an expiring guy who obviously you wouldn't otherwise target until this injury occurred? Or do you use kind of this opportunity in some ways for like a mini sell, kind of close the doors on the season and, you know, maybe sell off some assets for some things and really kind of try to revamp your team when Oladipo comes back? And that's the kind of some kind of moves out there that could benefit this team in the long run. And we talked about how they're kind of on the verge of being a contender. Well, maybe if you make the right kind of moves, you kind of use this as an opportunity instead of being down in the dumps too much about it. Maybe you kind of revamp the roster a little bit, add something to go along with Victor Oladipo and Miles Turner. A couple of nice players, obviously. Victor Oladipo might be an all-star starter, or might have been an all-star starter before this, an all-NBA type of guy. But, you know, maybe you do need that third star, or maybe you revamp the supporting cast a little bit. Or do your Indiana, you just stay the course this season, and you say, you know, the expectations have maybe changed, but maybe we can still win a first-round playoff series with this group and then, you know, have that confidence that we got a good team and Victor comes back next year. And suddenly you maybe got a little bit more renewed confidence in the roster. So I'll be interested to hear what Indiana's plan, interested to see what Indiana has in store, but maybe we'll have Tony East on soon to talk about what he thinks is the best course of action for a team that suddenly is in a little bit of flux and is, but like I said, maybe a little opportunity there for them to make a smart forward-thinking move that they wouldn't have otherwise made. But enough about them. For Detroit, the rest of the week is Friday at Dallas. That's the end of this three-game road trip that has turned into a split so far, and we will see if the Pistons can overcome their 1-2 home swing that they had. Actually, no, that was a 2-1 home swing because they beat Orlando on Wednesday, but the 1-2 weekend that they had over Friday, Saturday, and Monday that I was all disappointed about, and maybe we can turn that around into a 2-1 homestand with a couple of victories ending up on Friday at Dallas. But then the Pistons will come home for Milwaukee, Dallas, the Clippers, and the Nuggets after that. So some tough home games coming up. A lot of losses in there. And then after that, the Pistons will be at the Knicks, and that will be the last game before the February 7th trade deadline, which is obviously where our focus has been here on the Locked On Pistons podcast and will continue to be. But up next, we're going to talk about that viral video with Blake Griffin and Reggie Jackson. Unfortunate. And what it means about the Pistons. But did you get a smart speaker over the holidays? Go ahead and tell your smart speaker to play podcast Locked On Pistons. Again, play podcast Locked On Pistons, and it'll play the most recent episode of your favorite podcast on Amazon Alexa, Echo, Google Home devices, Sonos, whatever smart speaker you use. Just say play podcast Locked On Pistons, and you'll get the latest episode. And we appreciate you guys using all the platforms that you use to access the Locked On Pistons podcast.
Yes, sir!
Also, by the way, again, I forgot to bring in Mason, Pistons victory. I'm out of Pistons victory mode right now. So Mason, hit him one time for a Pistons win.
Detroit!
All right, so a little bit later on, and thanks to Mason for that. Hey, it's a win. Let's get excited, okay? And a little bit later on, we're going to talk about that viral video, and I hate to do this again, but I think I'm going to bump the voicemails to Friday. I made some notes about the video, then I came across a trade rumor that I want to get into here. So again, I think I'm bumping the voicemails to Friday. I promise I will play those on Friday's show, and I apologize to the guys for getting those in. But we've got the Drummond to Charlotte rumors out there, according to podcast host Scoop B on Twitter. His name is Brandon Robinson. I'm not familiar with his work, but he has a big following, and that's out there. So I want to talk about it a little bit. But Drummond is on the block, according to his report, and that Charlotte is interested, Detroit seeking Malik Monk and Nick Batum in a possible package. Now, been messaging a little bit with friend of the show, Nick Carboni, media anchor, sports anchor, media mogul, really, in Charlotte, who he should probably be salary dumped, by the way, by someone at some point. But Nick Batum has one of the worst contracts in the league, but certainly could help the Pistons on the wing. He makes $24 million this season, $25.6 next year, and a player option for $27.1 million the year after for Nick freaking Batum. It's insane, I know. Obviously, Andre Drummond, right about that, exactly, pretty much exactly. $25.4 million, $27.1 million, and a player option for Drummond at $28.8 million. So, like I said, nearly an identical contract to Andre Drummond for Nick Batum in length and value. If the Pistons traded them straight up, which they won't, that would be about a $1.5 million in savings each year for the Pistons on the cap for a lesser player. Let's be clear about that. Andre Drummond is better than Nick Batum. I know we've said a lot of not-so-nice things about Drummond on this podcast lately, and I know the fan base, a lot of you guys are out on him, but let's be clear about that. Andre Drummond, a two-time All-Star, better than Nick Batum, who has been a huge disappointment in Charlotte because, well, he's Nick Batum. So he's getting 9 a game this year. He does shoot 40% from 3, gets 5 boards, 3 assists per game. Similar minutes for him, still starting for Charlotte, but the numbers are down for him. Not sure why. I guess new coach James Borrego is just putting more of the offense in the hands of Kemba Walker, which makes a lot of sense. He's a very good player. But when you look at the numbers, it's almost like Borrego took away 2 or so shots a game from Batum and gave them directly to Kemba. And Kemba's scoring and shooting volume numbers are up because of it. So, and then the other part of this tweet report was that Malik Monk, if you bring Malik Monk in as part of the deal, you know, he's in year 2. He's billed as a shooter coming out of Kentucky, but really hasn't been that in the NBA quite yet. Shooting 33% from 3 this year, 34% for his 2-year career. But he's getting 10 points a game, 18 and a half minutes. He score per game throughout his career. He scores a little bit more and plays a little bit less than Luke Kennard, but doesn't shoot the 3 nearly as well as Luke has, about a 40% shooter there. Like Luke, he doesn't play a lot of defense, and that's kind of always been my prerequisite for playing on the Detroit Pistons, is you got to play defense, but we'll make exceptions for guys who can shoot or could potentially turn into really good shooters. And again, like I said, although Drummond is better than Nick Batum, if you put Malik Monk in the deal, that makes it very one-sided favoring the Pistons. So, you know, Malik Monk and Nick Batum for Andre Drummond straight up doesn't work. I mean, it works salary-wise, it works in the trade machine, but you need to sweeten the Pistons side of it at that point. It becomes too one-sided. So, you know, it's you can go back and forth with these kind of things, as I'm sure many of you guys know from making your own machinations with the trade machine. And then, of course, if you bring in Nick Batum, helps your size on the wing, which is a good thing, kind of maybe takes the spot of what the Pistons hoped that Glenn Robinson III would be and has not been for the Pistons this year. But then, if, like, let's say you do bring in Malik Monk in a deal, you already have too many shooting guards. The Pistons are stocked with shooting guards too many, like I said, already. So, you know, maybe you figure out deals in this deal in particular, or maybe other deals that you could make to thin out the 2-guard position and kind of go forward there. Now, so again, some things you can do in this deal, maybe you throw in Stanley Johnson. That makes the trade work. With you got Batum and Monk for Drummond and Stanley, that makes it work. It's an expiring deal for Charlotte. Maybe they want to re-sign him as a restricted free agent. You would get his rights in that trade too. Maybe they see some chances for Stanley to kind of reclamation project, get his career going as kind of a second chance in North Carolina for the Hornets. Or the other name we've talked about a lot in the podcast here is Reggie Bullock. And that also works salary-wise for them. Played his college ball at North Carolina. We know owner Michael Jordan would like that. a very good three-point shooter these past couple of years, last night notwithstanding for Reggie Bullock. But I don't know. I mean, what is that? You know, what is, if you say Andre Drummond and Stanley Johnson or Reggie Bullock for Malik Monk and Nick Batum, that's a deal that makes a lot of sense for the Pistons. I'm not sure if that makes a lot of sense for Charlotte in terms of what they're looking for. I think they, just like Andre Drummond here in Detroit, probably even to a more extent from talking to Nick Carboni, my buddy here, there's a lot of fatigue about Nick Batum, just for a guy who was kind of a head-scratching contract when he was brought in. I mean, it's kind of that summer of 16, John Luehr, Langston Galloway, or not Galloway, it was summer of 17, but summer of 16, John Luehr and Boban, and some of those deals that Stan Van Gundy brought in that summer that seemed on the surface to be way too much money for the caliber of players that they were getting. That's kind of Nick Batum to the max. I mean, he's just like the emblematic guy of that summer of 16 free spending on guys that don't deserve that type of money. And Nick Batum has not lived up to the salary and has been a very big disappointment for Charlotte Hornets fans, who probably blame him for a lot of the struggles of a team that has a great player in Kemba Walker and has a guy who's going to make an all-star team in Kemba Walker leading the way. Does that sound familiar, by the way? Does that this whole scenario where it sounds like Blake Griffin with the Pistons, right, really stepped up his game, really in a lot of ways surprising fashion become and in Griffin's case re-became an NBA superstar and still the team isn't getting it done around him. So Nick Batum is kind of that whipping boy in Charlotte that they have that fit the bill of a couple of the guys here in Detroit. Now, if the Pistons were to make this 2-for-2 deal that I'm talking about, and I'm not talking about Stanley and Bullock and Drummond for those two, I would say it'd be an either-or thing. Now, again, I think that particular trade doesn't quite make a lot of sense for Charlotte quite yet, but maybe I'm wrong. I mean, I'd like to hear what you guys think, but if the Pistons made that kind of deal, you'd need a corresponding move for some kind of center at that point. You need a rebounder, block shots, someone athletic that can kind of replace a lot of the things that Andre Drummond did positively for you guys on the court, and then, you know, Zaza Pachulia and Blake Griffin, some minutes at center, and then Zaza. There's not enough center minutes there between those 1.5 centers, or maybe not even quite 1.5 centers if you want to put Blake some minutes at the five, but you don't want to do all that. Is Johnny Hamilton bringing up from Grand Rapids, is that enough? Is he ready? I don't know. I would imagine you'd probably have to get some sort of guy who's got some more experience and NBA ready, and maybe that's a deal, or maybe there's a player out there in the, you know, two-way world or the European world that would fit that bill for the Pistons on like a minimum type of contract. So and then you could maybe, if you want to go further down this rabbit hole with Charlotte, you could maybe get Willie Hernan Gomez involved, a guy that doesn't play a lot for them, backup center. He can shoot it, doesn't shoot a lot of threes, but he's very proficient when he does. That's going to get Pistons fans excited, another body there as well. And in addition to this, and not something we're going to talk about today, but there are the Stanley Johnson to San Antonio rumors out there. If you want to fall down that rabbit hole or maybe put some trades together, I'd like to hear what you guys have to say about Stanley Johnson, kind of long rumored to be long rumored that there's been teams that are interested in Stanley Johnson, even still, certainly last year, and still kind of holding on to hope for Stanley. Again, who's 22 years old, I believe. So it's like there's a chance. It's certainly not foolish to think that Stanley Johnson can still have a long and productive NBA career. But San Antonio has kind of been a team that's always been rumored to be one of those teams that's very interested in Stanley Johnson. So there's that on the trade deadline front. I kind of enjoy this, actually. I've enjoyed talking about trade deadlines and rumors more than maybe I would have thought if you would have asked me this a few weeks ago. But is your company looking for a new way to reach customers? You guys will be mentioned right here, right now, on the Locked On Pistons podcast. Podcast listeners are 60% more likely to interact with sponsors that they hear on their favorite shows. Our demo is 98% males with more education and more earning power than traditional media audience. So have your company sponsor this podcast. Email me at matt_shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, at yahoo.com to find out more. Next, we're going to talk about that video. Hopefully you've seen it by now, but that's next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day. All right, now maybe you've seen the clip from last night after the game. Mickey York of Fox Sports Detroit gets Blake Griffin on the court for an interview. And no real point in playing the audio because it's more of a visual thing, but here's a quote from Blake Griffin. This is actually what he told the Associated Press and reporters later on after this, but it's pretty similar to what he told Mickey York, and we'll do the other quote after this. But, quote, "The way we finished the game was the reason we've lost so many close games," end quote. Then he goes on to say, quote, "This time, we just happened to come out on top. We got a lucky miss, a lucky bounce. We were able to get a wide open dunk, but this doesn't feel like that good of a win. Obviously, we'll take it, but stuff like this is why we've lost so many games, end quote. And on television, he actually said something right along the lines of this, but was even more blunt and more critical about it. He said, "Nothing to be proud of, just masking our issues. We got to lock in and finish games. Our lack of focus at the end of the games have been awful. That's why we lose games like this. I'm happy with the win, but I'm not necessarily happy with how he pulled this game out." And Blake obviously is saying these quotes in a very serious demeanor with his Blake intense face on. So, you know, it's a morose kind of interview after a game, which is unexpected a little bit, I guess, in the moment like that. But meanwhile, oblivious to the words that Blake is saying, Reggie Jackson creeps up from behind, which you see all the time in the NBA, kind of players getting into the interview and doing something funny to parrot them or something like that. But Reggie kind of sneaks up from behind and ducks under Blake and then gets his face right in front of the camera, kind of interrupts the interview and starts like posing for the camera. Now, I'm not gonna sit here and make a big deal out of this. They won. Reggie, he's happy. He's having fun. He hit some big shots. He was a big reason why they won that game during what has been a frustrating season for him as an individual player. And maybe he wanted the interview for himself after the game. But the symbolism of what goes on in that clip is impossible to ignore. And I'm not coming up with a profound thought here. I know that it's obvious, and a lot of you guys on Twitter have pointed that out. But Blake talking about focus and being serious and really somewhat disappointed with a road win, and then Reggie Jackson, who in a lot of ways is emblematic of these issues, is there posing for the camera and joking around during this, which, again, he should be. It's fine. He should be happy they won. There's nothing wrong with Blake being disappointed in a win. There's nothing wrong with Reggie being happy with a win, just as long as Detroit fans are concerned that the Detroit teams get their win. But the symbolism is there, as I said. And I'll say this. I'll take it a little bit further and maybe even too far here. But I heard Justin on the Detroit Bad Boys podcast on Monday. Shouts to Laz and those guys. But talking about a roster fatigue with Andre Drummond. And I think that these things are kind of connected. And maybe this is just some overall thoughts I've had about Reggie Jackson and Andre Drummond. These guys have been the centerpieces of this disappointing run. This is a young group of players that perked our hopes up in 2016, got to the playoffs, had a nice season. Drummond and Jackson looked like they were going to be cornerstones of a nice run of Pistons basketball. I don't know that any of us were really thinking titles back then, of course, because you had the LeBrons of the world and you had this budding, you know, dynasty in Golden State that was shaping up and everything like that. But obviously this has been ultimately a very disappointing run that these guys have had. And notably that the guys that left are having success in their other places. Not that Kentavious Caldwell-Pope is any kind of all-star or anything like that, but he's in L.A., the Lakers. They got LeBron. That's a good situation for him. And obviously he's a clutch client, so a really good lucrative situation for him. You got Tobias Harris, fringe all-star over with the Clippers. Marcus Morris playing in Eastern Conference Finals, playing a big role and playing very well. Possibly might even be an Eastern Conference All-Star, if you can believe that, this season with the Boston Celtics. And these are the three guys. There were the other young guys with Andre Drummond and Reggie Jackson. Meanwhile, Stan Van Gundy and the Pistons kept Reggie Jackson and Andre Drummond instead of those guys, invested in them, and it ultimately has not worked out. Those guys, Drummond and Jackson, like it or not, are big reasons for a lot of the losing around here. And I'll say this, and I've hesitated to say this because it might be construed as like maybe mean-spirited or something like that, but I don't mean what I'm going to say here as personal attacks at these guys. But Andre and Reggie, in my opinion, are just maybe not the types of players and in some ways maybe not the types of people that fit in this town and grab the hearts and minds of the fans of Detroit. And I think that has a lot to do with the malaise of the fan base. And a lot of this stuff is out of their control, obviously. Andre Drummond, big, athletic for his size, but you got the effort issues, you got the focus issues. A guy who is good because of his God-given abilities, but doesn't really focus on them and get the most out of them. And again, this is a simplistic black and white way of saying something that's very complex and nuanced. But you know, he's a guy who wants to shoot more. He kind of wants a little bit more of the spotlight, a little bit more of the glory, without doing the things that, as basketball fans, we watch and we know what he's good at. And we know he should be focusing and capitalizing on those things that he is good at. Now, Reggie, You know, a selfish player, for better or worse. Sometimes that's a good thing for guys to be selfish players on the court. In this part of his career, post a couple of his injuries, that's not been a good thing. He's an emotional guy, and that's something that you kind of have to deal with. You know, maybe as a coaching staff, you know, how does Reggie feel about taking a back seat to Blake Griffin? Well, I can just hear the regular fan saying, when that kind of narrative is brought up, who cares how Reggie Jackson feels? He's not good enough to worry about his feelings. Now, Reggie, and this part is going to make me sound like the oldest man take that I've ever had on this show, which is saying a lot. But it seems like he's a guy who cares a little too much about how he looks on the court. And I was that way when I was a teenager, so I know what that looks like. I know what that appears to be. He tries to make the dribbling look really smooth all the time. The fact that he has the bright-colored fluorescent shoes with the new rules, Reggie Jackson doing that was like the most unsurprising thing ever. He'll make a good play, and he'll preen after that. He'll kind of make a pose. And it seems like when he makes a good play, his confidence seems to grow to a ridiculous extent. And again, these are things that are positive traits. Confidence is a good thing. But it's like he gets overconfident after making like one good play to the point where he can't make another good play after that because he's now lost focus. And then the cycle repeats. Now, again, it's not exactly that. But this is just like my observation from years of watching this guy play. It's what it appears to be. And I know we're making it black and white. We're making it more simplistic than it really is. And I know a lot of NBA players have a lot of different style. And we all care about what we look like to some extent. But I just feel like a lot of the NBA players that are caring about what they look like, and us, you know, going to the gym every day, and we care about what we look like too. But a lot of those guys that are caring about what they look like, they get the job done for their team night in and night out for the most part. Reggie right now is not. And I think that in part is why the fan base is gone for this team. Their stars are not connecting. And now that being said, Blake Griffin is. He's a Detroit guy. He's making it happen for his team, which is kind of surprising given what we thought we might get out of Blake Griffin coming from this trade last year. In addition to the surprise about how well he's playing, which has been great, but he's been the leader and the guy who's focused on the right things and the guy who's wanting more out of his teammates and his team so that this franchise can improve. And that video, like I said, it says a lot. You should check it out if you hadn't seen it. But I know a lot to chew on there. So I want your opinion from what I said on the Google Voice line, 810-666-1546. I promise I'll play those voicemails on Friday. Maybe we'll fit another one in there. That could be the main part of the show as we look ahead to the Dallas Mavericks on Friday. But again, 810-666-1546. Leave a short voicemail with your name, where you live, and let me know what you think about the video, my thoughts on it, some trade proposals, whatever you want to talk about. We will do that here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. This is your host, Matt Shook, saying thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you guys tomorrow.